It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. PennDOT is placing weight restrictions on about 1,000 bridges across the state as a result of the legislature's failure to approve funding for infrastructure. PennDOT Secretary Barry Shoke says the move to lower weight restrictions is designed to stretch the life of deteriorating bridges. According to a 2011 study by Transportation for America, 30 of Pittsburgh's bridges, including the Liberty Bridge, were considered structurally deficient. That's the highest number in the nation. I'm joined now in Studio A by Dan Cessna, District Executive for PennDOT District 11, covering Allegheny, Beaver, and Lawrence counties. Dan Cessna, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Good afternoon, Paul. It's good to be here.
If you have a comment or question for our guest, you can call us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is ESSPGH@WESA.FM. And you can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at #EPLive. What concerns do you have about the condition of Pittsburgh's many bridges and how weight restrictions will impact you? 412-246-2002, the number to call. Dan, let's begin by having you explain the difference between the two terms that we're hearing applied to bridges, structurally deficient and functionally obsolete.
Okay, a structurally deficient bridge is basically one of the major elements of a bridge, either the superstructure, substructure, or deck, or in a condition that if not addressed, basically repaired or fixed, they could deteriorate to a level of causing a significant issue with the bridge. So, in fact, the structural deficiency is a rating system that we use to keep an eye on and have a ground-level truth of the condition of our bridges.
So this is just that's a means of identifying that this bridge is in trouble. It's still okay to drive over it.
That's right. We have a lot of average bridges, and in fact, our bridges are inspected every 2 years, and then that system, the inspectors that review that bridge, actually assign that rating number that ultimately determines if a bridge is structurally deficient or not.
And how does the rating number work? What's the scale?
It's a 0 to 9 scale, with 5 or above being okay, and 4 and below, meaning that it is structurally deficient in any one of those elements.
So the Liberty Bridge, for example, what number would it have?
It has rated around a 4, so it's just under, but it's in a situation that we certainly know over time that it needs repairs in order to maintain its long-term health.
All right, so that's you just identified structurally deficient.
Mm-hmm.
And what about functionally obsolete?
Yeah, functionally obsolete is a less used term, less known by a lot of people, because, in fact, some element, say the width of a bridge, maybe you have a very narrow area where you don't have the ability to have the full width that you might want on a bridge, like say you have a narrower lane. That could actually make a bridge functionally obsolete just because it doesn't meet the current design standards, but in no way would impact the structural integrity of the bridge.
It sounds worse.
It does.
Than structurally
and
deficient.
And it's not.
It's not
right.
Worse.
Right.
The Liberty Bridge is used by a lot of motorists in the city of Pittsburgh. You mentioned it's on a scale of 0 to 9. It's a 4, which makes it just short of structurally deficient. But it's not in the best of shape either. How would you characterize the shape that it's in?
Well, it's certainly safe, and that's the one thing we want to remind all motorists that are traveling across the bridge is that the bridge is open, which means that it's safe. Any bridge that is unsafe, we will immediately shut down when we would identify that being the situation. But we do know that there is significant deterioration of the steel elements, the deck, and other areas of that bridge that over time, if left unrepaired, would make the bridge unsafe. So we're in about the second year of a design process going through analyzing the structure, working on plans to actually rehabilitate the bridge when we would have funding to do so. So we're gaining a lot more in-depth knowledge of the bridge structure that you might not otherwise have during routine inspections.
How does the process, as you call it, rehabilitating a bridge, how does it work?
Okay, well, I think most people are probably pretty familiar around the region with a bridge rehab project of the nature and size of the Liberty Bridge. We're going to have significant work to do. So we haven't yet decided what we might do from a traffic control perspective, but that's one of the main things that we look at, especially right in the heart of Pittsburgh, is what impacts are going to have on traffic, what alternate routes are we going to have to do. Because as I mentioned, the deck is one of the main things that we're going to need to rehabilitate on the Liberty Bridge. So it may mean that we have to take a lane down or two lanes at a time to do a long-term closure of a portion of the bridge to actually rehabilitate the deck. That could mean we actually remove the existing bridge or maybe just do repairs to the bridge deck that exists there.
And that's a bridge that's in the middle of the action. So
it's a big deal.
And so how does that impact traffic?
Mm-hmm. Well, as people noted over the last month of August, we did close Liberty Tunnels in one direction or another. And we learned a lot from that. That was sort of a good test to think about how we might address traffic when we actually do the Liberty Bridge project, because we saw the impact of the morning commute or the afternoon commute, depending on which direction traffic was shifted.
And what were some of the, in addition to that, what were some of the things that you learned?
Well, we do know that for the morning commute, when you had the inbound tunnel closed, that it caused significant backups on the Parkway West, because that is the detour route, and it also caused backups on 51 and somewhere on West Liberty Avenue, which we were able to address. So those are the types of things that we'll take into account once we determine the scope of repairs we need to do on Liberty Bridge. But we have a lot of, you make a lot of theoretical assumptions when you're deciding how traffic is going to go. We actually had a month of real-time closures and restrictions to think about as we plan for the future.
Why does Pittsburgh have so many structurally deficient bridges?
Well, some of it is just the reality that Pennsylvania has more structurally deficient bridges than any state in the nation. And the reality is we like to refer or love to refer to our city as the City of Bridges. We have a lot of bridges here. So, in fact, we do have quite a few that are structurally deficient, the most notably being the Liberty Bridge.
Let's say that the legislature ended up approving funding for infrastructure this fall, and you had all the money in hand that you needed to make the kind of improvements that you want to make. You have all these bridges. How long would that take?
Well, we oftentimes get questions, could you finish this project before you start the next one? And unfortunately, you can't just do one project right after the other. You're going to have a lot of projects under construction at the same time just because of the number of roads and bridges. We would be prepared in about a year from now to be able to have the Liberty Bridge under construction from a standpoint of having design plans out, have a contractor on board, things like that, if we knew that we had funding this fall. If we don't know for certain whether we're going to have funding, it's still years away until we would be able to deliver Liberty Bridge, because all of our other funds are tied up in other projects.
Your boss, Mr. Shoak, is frustrated about this, and many people expected that there would be that the money for these infrastructure improvements would have been approved by the legislature by now. What's it like for somebody like you who has to plan out these fixes, these improvements?
It's a challenge. For one thing, you don't know exactly where you're going to be with funding, so you're always reprioritizing which projects that you do. And unfortunately, with the condition of our bridges, occasionally things surprise us where we need to jump in a little quicker with a repair or a procedure that we weren't planning, and that can wreak some havoc on your overall plan also. It's a challenge for us. You know, continually you're making these priority-based decisions, and you're not left with very good choices in some situations.
We're talking with Dan Cessna. He is the district executive for PennDOT District 11, covering Allegheny, Beaver, and Lawrence counties. If you have a comment or question, 412-246-2002 is the number to call to join the conversation. Again, we're looking for the concerns that you have about the condition of Pittsburgh's many bridges. Maybe you've identified a problem that you feel that PennDOT is not aware of. And also, how would weight restrictions impact you? How will they impact you if, in fact, they go into effect, which looks like the plan, if the legislature doesn't approve funding? 412-246-2002, the number to call. Again, 412-246-2002. So If you get the funding, then how is that going to impact the situation? You've identified some problems. If you get the money, then do we see the improvements getting made right away?
Yes. Some places we have projects ready to go to construction almost immediately. Birmingham Bridge, just another bridge right up the river. We basically have the design finished for that bridge. It's also structurally deficient, needs a number of repairs. We'd be prepared to go to construction next to immediately. Like I said, with Liberty Bridge, we're about a year away from having the plans ready. Here in the next month or so, we're going to do some weekend work to actually evaluate some repair techniques on the bridge to further and finalize the designs. We have a lot of projects that we are designing to be prepared to go to construction for when the funds are available. So we'll just continually work that into the schedule based on when's a good time of the year to start a project, when are other projects in the area being completed so that you don't have conflicting traffic detours and things like that.
So in the immediate future then, how much do you anticipate, if you get what you need, how much do you anticipate the number of Pittsburgh's bridges being reduced by? Right now there are, as I mentioned, according to this 2011 study, 30 bridges, including the Liberty Bridge, considered structurally deficient, which is the highest in the nation. What would you anticipate being able to knock that number down to?
Pretty significantly. I don't know the I don't have the exact number for this. Like you're quoting 30 in the city of Pittsburgh. I don't know the exact number from our count. We did just fix a number of bridges over the past two summers, say, on the Crosstown Expressway. A lot of those bridges over the expressway were structurally deficient heading up to the Console Energy Center, and they've all been rehabilitated over the past couple of years. So we've made a significant impact. The two most significant that I'm familiar with right in the city and the vicinity would be the Liberty and Birmingham bridges. They're the two largest and most significant for us. But there certainly are other bridges around the area that need repairs.
The Birmingham Bridge, as you mentioned, is very close to where we are here on the south side, here where our studios are situated. What are some of the problems with the Birmingham Bridge? That's an oft-traveled bridge. It certainly links Oakland and the south side for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us may not have been aware that there were problems on that bridge.
Well, with Birmingham Bridge, they're not as apparent because the deck is in better condition. The bridge deck that the cars travel over, it's a concrete deck. It's original. It's in fairly good shape. But a lot of the if anyone would walk under that bridge when it's raining, they would see the a lot of the dams are leaking and there's water just pouring through. The paint is in poor condition in some areas, so we would certainly be looking at basically sealing the bridge up from a standpoint of dealing with the leaking dams, a repainting of both the Liberty and Birmingham bridges. Anybody that's looked at the paint systems, they're in pretty bad shape. They see a lot of rusting steel. Any bridge of that age, again, Liberty Bridge is about 90 years old, so any bridge that age, you have a lot of steel repairs that you need to get completed. Birmingham is much newer than that. It's about 40 years old. So, you know, the steel repairs are less significant, but there's still a lot of things that need done. Birmingham, a little easier to deal with from a traffic standpoint because there's not nearly as much traffic that crosses it.
Let's get to a couple of callers. 412-246-2002. Let's start with Grant in Pittsburgh. Grant, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. You're on with Dan Cessna.
Hi, yes. Thank you for taking my call. I drive a vehicle for a living, but it's just a, you know, it's a non-CDA type vehicle. I had a question about, I noticed that there's a lot of tractor trailers that drive on, say, North Avenue, East Carson Street, you know, cutting across the 10th Street bypass, the street bridge across, you know, all these, Lawrenceville, you know, we're talking huge tractor trailers that are bigger than, say, 10 years ago. And aren't those, and they, you know, they're cutting through Lawrenceville and they're, you know, they're 30 feet long. Isn't, shouldn't there be, and they're cutting up through Children's, say, where Children's Hospital is, through Bloomfield. And how come they don't even know, I mean, it used to be, you know, truck, they just seem like they're routinely delivering. Why are there no restrictions in that sense?
Again, I can't speak for the specific routes. Certainly, I recognize a lot of the ones that you mentioned. But truck restrictions are a the ability of the municipality, if it's a city-owned street, they are able to restrict to just deliveries or other things, as you mentioned. And then it becomes an enforcement issue as far as keeping the large trucks off the street. I do know, to your point, that trucks are larger and becoming larger than they were even 10 years ago, and that's one of the challenges that the secretary mentioned with regard to putting these restrictions in place. Basically, we're basically saying that with these weight restrictions, we're going to slow the rate of deterioration of the bridges. But to your point, also, it has impact on roads.
Grant, thank you for that call. Let's go to Rod in Allegheny. Rod, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. Hello, Rod.
Hello, this is Ron.
Oh, Ron, I beg your pardon.
Ron, yeah. Hey, my question for you guys there is the 837 Elizabeth Bridge project that's going on right now and has been going on all summer long. I'd like to know two things. Number one is, how are these people awarded these bids, and how is it that it takes so long to do them, and why can't we have these people work longer hours or have more people work on their project to get them done? Because this 837 bridge project there has been going on all summer long. People have been inconvenienced, and the detour around that project is miles.
I guess a quick clarification. When you say 837, are you referring to the road project or which specific bridge project?
It's the ramp project to the Elizabeth Bridge.
Okay, from
Route 837.
Okay, with regard to how contracts are awarded, they are awarded on low bid basis. And because there's not as much work from a competitive standpoint around the region, bids are very tight. So in some situations, you're not seeing contractors working near the overtime that they used to in some situations because they simply don't have space in their pricing to be able to pay premium wages. And that is impacting the length and duration of some of the projects. Now, in certain locations, we make the contract time so tight that a contractor has no choice but to work significant overtime, weekends, and the like. Say, I'll use Squirrel Hill Tunnel as an example. That's just what has to happen to get that much work done on a weekend. But where we can allow contract time, it brings the cost down. And it's a bottom-line cost that we pay. But to your point, your inconvenience might be extended because you're on a longer detour for a longer period of time. Unfortunately, the cost to the public like that isn't something that isn't something that's considered a lot. We consider it as PennDOT when we're planning projects, but it's not considered when someone's developing our budget and telling us how much money we have to spend.
Ron, hopefully that answers your question. So, in the meantime, Dan, how will these weight restrictions be enacted? It looks like we're going to, for the foreseeable future, have them.
That's right. In fact, some of the bridges got restricted last week. Over the next couple weeks, we're going to roll out the remainder of the postings of the 46 bridges in our district. And they will remain in place until such time as we have funding to repair the bridges or physically replace them.
And what are you anticipating as far as the impact? What will it be on emergency vehicles, school buses, commercial trucks, if and when they are rerouted?
It's a significant impact. There's nothing positive about this other than that we're extending the life of the bridge. It's certainly going to have impacts on communities and certainly people and commercial trucks especially, because they may be rerouted on a significant detour.
Have you had a chance to speak before the legislature about this?
I have not personally. The secretary generally does that for us.
And what is the department saying at this point?
He's emphatically explaining that this need is real. It's not imagined, certainly, and that the safety of the motorists is of utmost importance with what we're trying to do and that we need additional funding to get the repairs done.
Dan Cessna is the district executive for PennDOT District 11, covering Allegheny, Beaver, and Lawrence counties. Dan, thanks for being with us and joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Okay, thank you. It was great to be here.
Coming up, business contributor Rebecca Harris gives us the skinny on the diet industry. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.